is for ladies only.
Want to learn more about your health and sexuality? Psychology researchers at the University of Michigan are looking for women who are not on the pill to participate in a research study on health and sexuality. Participants will engage in one study session each month for a total of 5 months. So if you are a woman who is between the ages of 18 and 40 in an ongoing relationship with a male partner, not taking hormonal medications, including hormonal contraceptives or the pill, not pregnant, and not breastfeeding, call us for more information at 734-763-7121 or email us at sexresearch@umich.edu. That's 734-763-7121 or sexresearch@umich.edu. This study is being conducted by the Van Anders Lab at the University of Michigan Psychology Department. Study number HUM00025873. Today on the Sex and Tell Show, I'm here with my friend Michael, and we're going to talk about asexuality, defining it, and talking about gray sexuality as well. Stay tuned. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Asexuality is basically somebody who doesn't feel strong sexual urges, or I guess in the field of psychology, it would be a libido. That doesn't necessarily mean that somebody who is asexual doesn't find other people attractive. They just don't really feel any need to initiate some kind of a sexual relationship with them. For example, a good metaphor that is used in the asexual community a lot is the idea of cake. Like, if you imagine turning on the Food Network and seeing this really beautiful cake that's being made, and like all of the, you know, you see all of these, you know, top of the line ingredients. I'm not a foodie, so but somebody who is asexual can maybe look at this cake and be like, wow, that looks like it'd be a really delicious cake. But, you know, if it's presented right in front of them and they're kind of handed a plate and a fork, they would maybe just say, you know, I'm not all that interested. Not necessarily because I'm not hungry, because hunger implies that, you know, 6 hours from now I'm not going to be hungry. It's more that I don't really have any concept of hunger, and it's not because I'm on a diet. It's just because I'm just not all that interested. There's different kinds of asexuals. I mean, there's asexuals that are heteroromantic. In other words, they are attracted to individuals of the opposite gender. There's also homoromantic asexuals, panromantic asexuals. A lot of the prefixes that are commonly applied to sexuality itself, homosexual, heterosexual, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely not the case. And it's also not like I'm going on a diet, you know. It's
yeah,
also
that's
not
a different
like
thing.
It's not like, well, I'd really like to have this cake, but you know, I'm for these moral reasons, or and that's kind of where you get into celibacy,
right?
And,
yeah, I was gonna say,
and abstinence,
which are totally different concepts.
Well, they're partially different concepts. I mean, they're kind of tied in together because, well, I mean, both offer very. In some ways, very similar issues to society. Both are like society looks at them, and this is a very hypersexualized society. And society is like, well, you don't have sex. I mean, what's the issue? And you know, there's a lot of issues as a result of that. That both asexuals and those who are abstinent or celibate for any of a number of reasons, religious or otherwise, mm-hmm. they would share.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I haven't really thought about it like that, that like they actually do share a part of society and the fact that society is like very hypersexual and that they both like share that non-sexual contrast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
maybe we could kind of go into what we're talking about with the sexuality scale in the sense of asexuality and sexuality.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of different kinds of asexuality. Like you would kind of imagine, there's a lot of different kinds of sexuality. One of the most, I guess, significant ones is what in the asexual community they call it gray sexuality, is kind of a play on words, and that's kind of a subset of sexual orientations that isn't quite asexual, where they feel sexual urges and compulsions and have a sex drive, but for one reason or another wouldn't somebody who is gray sexual wouldn't identify as straight or gay or bisexual or so on. For example, if somebody is hyposexual, where they have sexual urges, but these urges are extremely low, often to the point where they just wouldn't act on them because they don't really feel any need to. Another instance would be somebody who, like a fluidity, just like how there's gender fluidity, you know, so some days somebody who's transgender, they can wake up feeling male, and the next day they can wake up feeling female. I mean, it's kind of the same deal. Some gray sexuals will feel sexual urges some day and not feel sexual urges other days.
Mm-hmm.
There's also demisexuality, which is essentially somebody who can feel sexual attraction to somebody, but only once a strong emotional connection has been formed with them. And that can sometimes take weeks, months, even years in order to do.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, all of these different subsets of gray sexuality, they share a lot of aspects. They share a lot of things that also happen to asexuals. Mm-hmm. So
I think the thing that I got from some of the reading I did is that like a major part of it is what you actually identify with. Like even if you, I don't know, like some, like we were talking about, maybe some people would say, oh, well, demisexual is sexual, or like in between asexual and sexual is kind of the important thing, and the important thing to identifying with gray sexuality. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, the main thing to take away is that they are technically sexual, but they have a lot of aspects about themselves that are maybe a little bit closer to the asexual community, and that the asexual community would have a little bit more understanding of. So as a result, I think everybody gets kind of lumped together. Which is kind of a good thing. You know, the asexual community, like a lot of sexually progressive communities, try to be very, you know, they try to be very accommodating of, mm-hmm. and very inclusive.
There's this part that kind of, I don't know, I thought was interesting and kind of, I think, could describe a lot of people who identify as, like, gray sexual. It says, after examining heterosexual, homosexual, and bisexual identities and not feeling any belonging there, there was something about asexuality that just clicked. Then the realization that didn't fit all that well, and I had to detach myself from that identity as well as find something else. My experiences have been very polarizing. I'm sure it's been that way for others. In discussions relating to asexuality, I feel way more sexual than most people there, whereas around my sexual friends, I feel oddly asexual compared to them. It's hard to feel comfortable midway between two groups who sometimes feel so alien. Something he also said before was that gray sexuality is not really less hard or more hard than asexuality or some sort of LGBT variant of sexuality, that it truly is like its own identity, like you're talking about. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know.
You'll find in the LGBT community that there are very many people who just don't share similar experiences. They don't. They just have completely different styles of attraction. They're attracted to different people. They're attracted in different ways. But they still feel a sense of camaraderie and a shared experience, mm-hmm. of, well, I have sexual experiences that are out of the ordinary. You have sexual experiences that are out of the ordinary. And we kind of have something in common because of that alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that asexuals and demisexuals kind of it kind of have a similar camaraderie. I think that's kind of the main reason why they're lumped together, is because even though they are different in very many ways, they're different from both the LGBT community and the straight community. They're different from both of those communities in a very similar way, in that they don't necessarily feel sexual attraction as strongly or as often as both of those communities do.
I think an important aspect of asexuality that a lot of people probably don't think of if they don't know anything, which is probably most people, is that like asexual people, most likely they are romantic, even if they are not sexual.
Absolutely. That's kind of what I was talking about in the beginning. There's there are aromantic asexuals, which is somebody who both doesn't feel any sexual urges and it doesn't really find people to be attractive. That's what I was talking about with the cake. Somebody who is aromantic asexual wouldn't really find the cake all that interesting. Not just wouldn't want to have any cake, but just, you know, wouldn't really find it to be like theoretically beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the way that a painting is beautiful. There are a majority of those who are asexual do feel some sort of a romantic attachment. And in fact, a lot of this is a kind of another thing that a lot of people wouldn't realize about asexuals, is that asexuals are often in romantic relationships, and they're often in romantic relationships with people who identify as sexual.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is another difference between asexuality and celibacy, is that some asexuals are actually sexually active.
Right.
You have to remember that when we're talking about asexuality, we're not talking about a set of behaviors. We're talking about a set of feelings and attractions. So, for example, somebody who is asexual might compromise with a romantic partner and say, well, I'm not really interested in the sex, but I know that it makes you happy and it fulfills your needs. So I'm okay with doing this just to make you happy, essentially, just to kind of fill my end of the bargain with what it is that you expect out of a romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also just experimentation. There's also just, I'm curious about what sex feels like, and, you know, even though I don't really have any real need in the way that most people have a need, I'm just, you know, it's sometimes helpful to just see what happens, you know, even when you're not expecting to feel any sort of significant attraction.
Yeah, I think you learn more about yourself just by doing that.
Absolutely. And it's also important to keep in mind that even with relationships, romantic relationships between asexuals or, you know, asexuals and demisexuals, people who fall somewhere in that spectrum. I mean, just because asexuals don't engage in sexual acts doesn't mean they don't have emotional, intimate needs.
Right.
I think that's one of the things that society makes very confusing for asexuals, is society kind of lumps sexual needs and emotional needs, needs for closeness together. A lot of people who are possibly asexual, they're like, I don't really feel this need for these sexual, I don't really feel these sexual urges, but at the same time, I still need to feel close to people. I still want to be known by people. And the only way to do that is through entering a relationship, which is sexual. And right. that's just not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think society definitely puts a lot of pressure on sex and hypersexuality, like we were talking about before.
Absolutely. And I don't, it's kind of weird how like, how society has kind of associated loneliness with singleness, in that weird way that if you aren't sexually active and if you aren't in this relationship, then you don't really have any outlet or any way of fulfilling emotional and intimate needs, which again just isn't the case. But you know, if you were to pay any sort of attention to popular culture, you just wouldn't, you know, that's not a message that you'd receive.
Exactly. So. Yeah. I don't think there's any kind of representation of asexuality in popular culture that I can think of. I don't know about.
You know, there are asexual public figures. I mean, there's a couple of them, but certainly none that are significant. I think that's one of the main differences, and maybe this is a subject for a different show. I think that's one of the main differences between the needs that the asexual community has and the needs that the LGBT community has, is that, you know, everybody has opinions about gays and lesbians. At this point, maybe they're ignorant opinions, but at least they have opinions.
Right, yeah.
And at least the issue with asexuals is more about awareness and visibility. Because there's, you know, there's any of a number of gay and lesbian politicians, of comedians, musicians, on and on, just public figures, role models. I mean, just to my knowledge, isn't really any role model that an asexual can look up to and be like, wow, that really inspires me to be able to consider myself to be normal in this culture.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's, of course, that's something that the LGBT community is still working on.
Mm-hmm. And they definitely had like a starting point there. Yeah. So I feel like sometime in the future, asexuality seems to be like coming up more in conversations, more people are curious about it. And
right.
At some point, hopefully there will be like an asexual public figure to fill that kind of role.
Right. And just going back to the differences between the issues that the asexual community has and the issues that the LGBT community has, is that nobody really denies that that gays and lesbians exist.
I mean, yeah.
Like, again, people have some very different and some very hostile opinions of gays and lesbians, but there's I mean, if you were to go around and interview people, you'd find a significant number of people, I think, that would say that people who are asexual, that don't engage in sexual acts and don't feel strong sexual compulsions, that they're actually gay and they're just afraid to admit it, mm-hmm. or that they're straight and they just can't get laid, or that they have some sort of a psychiatric illness. And that's definitely not the issue here. So I think that's another thing that goes hand in hand with awareness and visibility. I mean, again, nobody has, at this point, extremely strong feelings about asexuals. Very few people do.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about letting people know that we exist. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. It's been very, that's been kind of one of the most confusing things for me, kind of dealing with the experiences that I've dealt with.
Yeah, feeling like you are visible and that like you are kind of validated in the identity that you have come to.
Absolutely. I guess another one of those things about just not really feeling validated is that whenever I do have a conversation with somebody about asexuality, A lot of the times I have to define asexuality. I mean, mm-hmm. that's kind of an issue. That's something that I wish that I didn't have to do.
Yeah.
And again, that kind of goes hand in hand with the representation of asexuality in popular culture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thank God that there's some extremely strong support groups. And there's all sorts of information about there for gays and lesbians coming out, for the parents and the friends and family of gays and lesbians coming out. But that isn't really the case for asexuals. And it's a 100% different conversation to be having, you know, as a result. I'm maybe a little bit more frightened, you know, even though people don't have as strong of feelings towards asexuality as they might about gay and lesbian issues. I kind of feel like there's more of an issue coming out because maybe I don't want to both come out and have to walk somebody through and educate somebody. Like,
right.
At the same time. At the same time. I mean, yeah. that's a very stressful and confusing experience for both people.
Yeah, that's a huge hurdle.
Absolutely.
Actually, that reminds me of a friend. I helped this friend create basically a presentation for their parents to explain transgender, like, and what transgender is. And that was like a coming out presentation, basically. It was a PowerPoint, actually.
Wow, absolutely. I would imagine it as being a very similar situation because asexuals and transgenders, I mean, they both suffer from a lack of awareness and a huge amount of just misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of the same deal. A lot of people just don't know somebody who's asexual. They don't know somebody who's transgender. They don't know any public figures that are either. So it's definitely more of a chore in that aspect. One thing that I do kind of reiterate is the relationship between the asexual community and the sex positive community. One thing that maybe I neglected to mention is that, I mean, ideally the sex positive community isn't about, not even positivity about sex. It's just about choices. It's about making people aware of the choices that they have in understanding themselves as sexual beings and understanding other people as sexual beings. And asexuality is just kind of one of those choices.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those options. So maybe that right there is where asexuality fits into the equation of sex positivity in the LGBT community. Is
being
that
positive about the choice and identity?
Yeah, kind of fostering an environment in which people can be made aware of all of the choices that they have, all
mm-hmm.
of the just all of the different things that are out there, and those things aren't necessarily sexual.
Right.
I guess that's something to consider.
Yes, that reminds me of a term I came across kind of when I was starting the show, actually, that really resonated with me is sex neutrality. Or being sex neutral rather than sex positive, because I think a lot of times the sex positive community is like, yeah, let's talk about sex, let's have sex all the time, sex is great, let's sex. And a lot of times that completely excludes asexual people in the asexual community because it's so like sex forward rather than sex neutral and just kind of talking about stuff, which is kind of what I try to do, and because it doesn't really help if you're like, pushy about it, you know?
Yeah, not only does that attitude, not only does it kind of alienate asexuals, it alienates a lot of regular people who are trying to figure themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't alienate people who are hypersexual, and I don't have any issues with, I think people who are extremely sexually active, I think that's great.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not everybody's experiences with their own sexual identity. And, you know, that's not just the asexual community talking. That's just not me talking as somebody who identifies as asexual. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people who feel entirely normal amounts of sexual attraction. And they encounter this community that encourages exploration, but at the same time, maybe tries to push things, not necessarily push things a little bit too far, but a little bit too fast. Mm-hmm. Like these are really complicated, multifaceted issues. And I don't really feel any need to, I mean, even though this is something that I think about daily, mm-hmm. I don't really feel any need to solve it right now.
Right.
Yeah. Like go, you know, go out and have my epiphany about my spiritual nature tonight, you know?
Yeah.
One of my favorite TV shows, Community, one of the characters, Annie, she has the line, she says, "I feel completely comfortable about not being comfortable with my sexuality." You know, I think that's kind of a great attitude to have.
Really great. I like that.
Yeah. To just say, you know what? I don't have everything figured out. And that's okay. I don't need to like rush into everything and try to get everything figured out. Maybe I can just kind of live my life and try to figure things out as I go along. I think that if people get too focused on just what am I, who am I need to figure this out right now, which is definitely one of the, I kind of feel like that's one of the pressures from the sex positive community and from popular culture in mm-hmm. general. I think that can be very, very off-putting to, I mean, just a huge, huge number of people.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think we should wrap up.
Absolutely.
This has been a super great episode.
Let's get it on.